So, dear saints, we always have give opportunity to share anything that the Lord is indicating that would be something that you're in obedience and faith to Him. You can share whatever's on your hearts and minds. So, go ahead, Adam.
I think one thing that I wanted to remind people about is that article on pride that you guys sent out, Pride and Its Undoing.
And
and it was cool because like you were talking about, humility is the right understanding of yourself before God, and pride is the wrong understanding of yourself before God. There's an assumption, or there's a I didn't touch her, but anyway, I just think I think it would be really good, like that article pairs really well with what you're sharing, because pride is the hindrance to that communion with God, and it's actually the hindrance to communion with others. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because it meant a great deal to me, that article.
Yeah, when we read it together, we thought, wow, this really is complimentary to the way the Lord has used your pride papers on core issues, Sally. It's really been used by the Lord and those that we're working with. So I think, was that posted in there too? I think Lori mentioned to have that posted in there with Sally's papers on pride.
It's on that
page. Yeah, okay, good, yeah. So, the pride, it's just one message on that is posted by Mr. Sparks. So, thank you for sharing that. Anything else come to mind?
It's one thing. I started the Revelation of Christ, and then I stopped it, and I went back to read, what is his name? Stoney. The gentleman who did the Conversations with Jesus. Quiet Talks.
Oh, S.D. Gordon, you mean?
Yeah, so I did that first and then went back to do Sparks's Revelation of Christ after that. And I must say, in retrospect, with the character being so unpacked and personalized, it really changed how the Revelation of Christ unpacked again.
Yes.
So I'd actually recommend it to anyone who actually does that first before you go into the Revelation of Christ. It really makes it quite astounding.
Yeah. So the Revelation of Christ, is that the name of a series? I'm not sure what you...
Yeah, it's Sparks unpacks the first six chapters of Revelation, but he deals primarily with the character of Christ.
Okay.
Within the book of Revelation. So the two actually complement one another, but the first one, the Conversations, makes it so personal that by the time you start unpacking Christ within the book of Revelation, it's just the one stacks on top of the other.
Okay.
It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, but is that the actual title of the book?
Yeah, the Revelation of Christ.
Okay, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, thank you for that. That's looking forward to doing that again. It's been, I'm sure it's been a while. Yeah. Does anyone else have any thoughts?
That's better.
Time to one of the readings I did, as I already referred to, is Quiet Talks with Jesus, I think is the title. I sent out, he starts with Genesis and the fall, and he goes through the history of Israel. He has a strong premillennial understanding of the return of Israel back to the land, and this was written way before Israel came back to the land. He could actually see prophetically Israel and his role prophetically. So I'm thinking about that one third of the Bible that's dealing with prophecy so much centers around Israel and where we are in history today. That if people don't understand what it means for Israel to be reborn as a nation in 1948, if they're not even taught that, then there's a huge gap in understanding how you know where you are in history. You can't know in terms of eschatology where you are. If you do not teach the fact that the return of Israel back to the land incrementally, the 1897 with the first Zionist meeting, and then the Balfour Declaration 1917, and then, of course, the rebirth of the nation of Israel 1948 and all that's happened since then, if that's not a part of your teaching retinue, and what this signifies is the sign of all signs among the nations, then God's people cannot they will not know for sure that we're in the last generation. And if you're a preacher of God's word, you are responsible to teach that which gives God's people the framework to know that you know that we're in the last generation. Otherwise, you know, you're planning for the next generation. There will not be a next generation, period. This is it. And you have to know that. And if you don't know that, there's something that needs to be adjusted or you need to be taught. So, Lori, I sent out the Quiet Talks with Jesus, and these sections I just mentioned, leading up to about page 72 or 73, from there it takes the life of Christ, I think, from the Jordan, if I remember, and takes it all the way up to the cross and resurrection. But you began reading that, and maybe you could just summarize a little bit, not in detail, but you, the Lord has really been impacting you as you've been reading that section on Quiet Talks with Jesus. And you shared a couple things, but just maybe you could just summarize something of what you're encountering with the Lord as you've been reading that.
Oh, I don't think I'm prepared to, but I will just say this. If I had it in front of me, of course, I would share some things, but just the way he, I think it's the vessel that S.D. Gordon must have been, that the Holy Spirit is able to communicate the person of Christ through him. And in a way that has struck me deeply, especially the how the Lord Jesus came to be a man. He is God and he is man, fully each. But the way he talks about going into the Jordan, being baptized as us for the human race, and then all the way through the garden of, well, first the Mount of Transfiguration, the section on that, it was so, it undid me as I read it, and the worship that came out of that towards my Lord, our Lord, was like, again, nothing I conjured up, nothing I could have even attempted, but the way he described Jesus Christ, but tying in the three disciples that were there with him, Peter, James, and John, and see the what's the word? When the Lord puts into somebody, investment. The investment in them. Why did he have them with him? Because they were going to be leaders in the church. You know, John went all the way through to the end. He was the aged John. And Peter was going to be foundational. And that rock of revelation was given to Peter. You know, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. So just having them with him on that Mount of Transfiguration, and the way that S.D. Gordon says that he, you know, we look at the Mount of Transfiguration as the forthcoming revelation of Jesus Christ in his glory, but what S.D. Gordon says is Jesus, he was allowing them to see him inside of Jesus, the man. They saw the Jesus that was before times. And that is what the glory was. And I'm not doing it justice at all. But at any rate, I would just really recommend. Remember when Doug was gone, he said, read pages 72 to 150. And that's where I am. And then I'm going to go back to the beginning. But I've been printing them out because it's easier for me to read it that way. But it is truly, you see the Lord in a way that makes you love him so much deeper. Because you're seeing his beauty and his wisdom. How he really, his whole walk with the disciples was to nurture them into being. He knew what he had in mind. And they were going to be leaders of his church. And you see it in a totally different perspective than I've ever read or heard before. And the Lord definitely gives revelation as you are reading, because it, I think because of the vessel being used.
So, unless the message is in the messenger, then there's no message. Anything else? I don't know if I read this, but I'll conclude with this. In the section, the pleading call to follow, he talks about the follow me life. Follow me, quote unquote, does not mean imitation. It means reincarnation. It's someone coming to relive his life in us. He died that his life might be loosed out to be relived in us, and I would say ultimately to be given away to a lost and dying world and to a very needy church. So the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:17, he concludes this way when he's pursuing for the prize of the upward call of God, and he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection by being conformed unto his death, if by any means I might attain the out resurrection from among the dead. Not that I've already been perfected and attained that goal, but I'm pressing on that I may apprehend that for which Jesus Christ apprehended me. I'm pressing for the mark of the upward call of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Then he concludes this way in Philippians 3:17. Mark those, I love the King James, mark those individuals. Observe, carefully observe, scrutinize those who have us as an example, and follow them. Follow them. So we are followers of Christ, but we need to have a them that represent examples of following Christ. And so I commend you the ministry of our Lord through this vessel, Esti Gordon. In Jesus' name.